today on Real Radio.
Be careful how you hear. At the end, it doesn't matter. You understand? It doesn't matter if I sleep through the message I'm giving. If I quote Bible verses, that's enough responsibility for us to stand before God with fear and trembling.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16 is a section that provides valuable insight into the various gifts believers have received and exercised for Messiah's glory, and their functions and purposes for the edification of his followers. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
Jesus says to them, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit when I get up there. Then he ascends from the Mount of Ascension. He goes up there. And then Pentecost, 50 days. Penta means 50. 50 days. 50 days. The Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. And that right there is one of the proof texts that Jesus, first of all, arrived in heaven, and of course that he's the Son of God. Father, by the way, remember that prayer I uttered down there in front of Peter, James, and John, and all those guys? Can you send now the Holy Spirit to them? Yeah, sure, son. And on the day of Pentecost came the Holy Spirit to empower the body for ministry. To empower us. The giving of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for our enjoyment. And when I say enjoyment, I mean being used by God is one of the most enjoyable things in the world. It's for our use, to the strengthening of the believers, and it is lasting. The purpose of the gifts, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12 says, Paul says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. And that word, by the way, edification, is to build up, and it's used 8 times in the book of Corinthians alone for the building up of the church of the gifts given. And so I want to ask you this question tonight before we get into this. I hope that it's important to you tonight that we are committed to building each other up. I have launched a personal campaign tonight that I'm going to start walking around when I meet you and see you. I'm going to ask how you're doing, and I want to find out, hey, what's God doing in your life? I'm going to ask you to start asking people in this church, what's God doing in your life? Isn't that exciting? Don't you hate when people ask that, when God's not doing anything in your life? What's God doing in your life? You can always tell when a Christian's lying. What's God doing in your life? A lot of things, man. Great. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Like what? What's God doing in your life? You know what? He's showing me this. We ought to start doing that with each other. Man, that is like, oh. But do you know how better off we'd be if we started doing that? All of a sudden, in this body, there's a lot of accountability just asking the question. It's wonderful. You don't have to even know the person's name. Hey, I've seen you here 2 weeks in a row. What's God doing in your life? That's exciting. He wants to do so much in our lives. It's the purpose of the Holy Spirit to give us gifts that we might grow. And if we're under the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you might want to jot down these 4 things. You and I will be living a life that is encouraging to others. If you are under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, in other words, is your life Spirit-filled? It's to be, you know. Well, how will we know? Because number one, our lives will be encouraging to others. Are you an encouragement to others? This is kind of a private thing now. You write this down, and we'll pull this out privately in our prayer times and stuff and kind of examine where we're at privately. The next thing, if we're being guided and led and filled by the Holy Spirit, is that my life, your life, will be profitable to those around us. People will say, you know what, I really appreciate your walk. I need your faithfulness. It encourages me. Or, you know, I see you going to that prayer meeting. I encourage. It's a profit. Your Christian life is a profit to others. Are you encouraging to others? Is your walk profitable to others? Third thing is, will you be a benefit to know? If Christians get to know you, will it better their walk? Aren't these convicting? If another brother or sister gets to know your walk, will they benefit from being your friend or being your prayer partner or whatever the situation may call? Fourth one and final one is, are you an asset to the church at large? In other words, are you dependent upon in the body of Christ? If you don't show up next week or for the next 3 months, will anybody notice? If you and I can leave this place and not show up and not get a phone call, listen, it's not the pastor's fault, and it's not the usher's fault, and it's not the church staff fault, or it's not the worship leader's fault if you're not noticed. Though I want to notice everyone. I do want to. It's just getting harder now to keep track of 1,500 faces, but I try really hard. But in your life, can you breeze in and breeze out and just kind of bob up and down and no one notice you? That doesn't mean the church isn't loving. It means that no one's counting on you for anything because you're not being used. And I need you. And the people sitting around you need you. And you might say, well, I have small children and it's so hard, or I can hardly move, I have arthritis, or whatever the case might be. You know what? I understand that. One of the most beautiful things why the Lord has Ken Drennan alive still. Man, when Ken showed up to this Bible study, he was the 14th person to show up. And I thought the guy was going to die any moment. He was so old then. And now he's 95 or something. And he's here every first service on Sunday morning. And he cried because he couldn't make it to Wednesdays anymore. And you see him go down the hallway. You know, I'm standing outside. I'm waiting for people to come out. He'll come. His feet are just shuffling. And he'll look at me in the eye. And he'll just go, yippee! Oh, I needed that today. And then he'll say, Jack, when's the Lord gonna take me home? I need that guy badly. He can't sleep hardly at all at nights, so he prays for you. And I mean that. You go, I don't even know who you're talking about. He doesn't know your face, but he says, man, if they sit under the roof, Lord, meet their needs. He can't sleep at night, so he prays all night. Man, we need him. You're being benefited by him. You know why the guy hasn't died yet? We're two all bunch of still immature people running around. We need his prayers. I've got it all worked out, though. I made a deal with God. God, when Ken dies and goes home and is not able to pray anymore, you just remember his prayers, and we'll do just fine. Jesus gives us a warning. We're going to talk about faith tonight. We really are. But before we do, I want to give you this warning that Jesus gave us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. There was a problem in the church, and there apparently shouldn't have been. In Revelation 3:1, it's the church of Sardis. To the angel of the church at Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." This is Jesus. Jesus is saying to the church at Sardis, "Hey, I've got the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know everything. I know everything about you. I've got the seven spirits." The Bible speaks about the seven spirits of God. They're listed in the book of Isaiah. Seven spirits of God. Absolute completeness. Absolute perfect knowledge and wisdom and counsel and might. Jesus says to the church at Sardis, listen carefully. I have the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. Did they have works? They had works. It's not that they didn't have any works. They were doing a lot of stuff. He says that you have a name, that you are alive. Everybody knew that the church of Sardis was alive. Where do you go to church? Church of Sardis. Where are you going tomorrow? Church of Sardis. Hey, in the community, the Sardines knew that church was alive, man. Where do you go? Where does everybody go? Church of Sardis. You have a name that you're alive. What does Jesus say? But you're dead. You know what? I thought about this heavily. Jesus says he holds the seven spirits of God. He's got them. Hey, Calvary Chapel, I hear you have a name that you're alive. People talking that you guys are alive, doing things. I know your works. Yes, Lord. Could he say, but you're dead? Huge bulletin, huge services, probably huge church. Maybe they had mission outreaches. Thursday nights out on the streets visiting people, trips to Russia, Mexico ministry, you name it. Oh, it's really happening down at the church at Sardis. And Jesus says, you know what, you're dead. That frightens me because Jesus evaluates a church different than we do. You ever been to a pastor's conference? You know what the first thing pastors ask when they meet up another pastor? How big's your church? I'm so tempted to just say, somewhere between 3 and 4. Oh, nice talking to you. It's weird. Jesus, I don't think, evaluates a church like we do. Charles Spurgeon says, if you want to see a church alive, you visit its prayer meetings. Charles Spurgeon says that the prayer meeting is the lungs of the church. Jesus says to the church at Sardis, man, you're dead. But he doesn't shoot them or anything like that. He gives them the answer to the problem. In verse 2, he says, you be watchful and you strengthen the things which remain. There was something left. You strengthen the things that remain. You better hurry up because they're ready to die as well. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Listen to this. Remember, therefore, how you have received and how you've heard, and hold fast and you repent. He didn't say what you've heard. You know what that means? It doesn't mean remember the things that you once used to hear. It means remember how you heard. It means that in the church at Sardis, the word was going out. It's not that the word wasn't going out. He says, remember how you heard. It speaks of the condition of the heart. We're talking about faith here, and no, maybe we won't get into it tonight. This is good foundational stuff for our faith to grow. How you hear. It's not what you're hearing. It's not what I'm hearing. You're not listening to false doctrine. You don't tune into the Watchtower Hour or something. I don't know. You don't tune that in. You're studying the Word. You're listening to the Word. You're reading the Word. It's not what you're hearing. He says, be careful how you hear. And that speaks about the condition of my heart. Am I hearing in my heart, and like the Scriptures warn us, mixing what I'm hearing with faith, lest I be like those who perished in the wilderness, who heard the word from Moses and didn't mix it with faith and wound up being kept out of the kingdom forever. Oh, man. Whew! Man, Moses gave an awesome devotion tonight. Wasn't that great? Yeah, and you know Aaron on that guitar? Miriam back there in the background? What do you think they did out in the wilderness at night? They didn't have an attend or anything. They're out there. God says, hey, I'm going to give you the book of Numbers and then you go teach them that, you know? God's teaching them through Moses, and he's leading them. Be careful how you hear. We can come in at Calvary Chapels, hear the word of God, and go out and never be any different because we're not hearing with our hearts. It's not false doctrine. It's how we're hearing. And the word's going out, and people are thinking, well, you know, pot roast today, or, I don't know, it's kind of hot, we'll do salads. and then he's thinking, well, if I could just get my, if I could get my dog to mow the lawn, I can watch the game. And be careful how you hear. Remember what you've heard, how you've heard. We give at least 30 minutes to worship. Why? These guys are not frustrated musicians. It's to break up the fallow ground that has pelted our hearts all day long today. To get us into that worshipful attitude that when the word goes out from here, Lord willing, anointed by the Spirit, it goes into the heart and it takes root so that it can change our lives. Be careful how you hear. Why? Because that's where faith will really, really be kindled and stoked if it's embedded in the heart. Tonight we have a woman in the hospital and we're waiting for the verdict from the doctor. And up until this crisis, she's been kind of frail. Kind of sensitive to climate, I don't mean climate as weather, just, things. She's just fragile. She's frail. She's a little lamb. And since this storm has come into her life, I mean big, you know what's happened? The thing that I see and others in ministry see when a storm comes into somebody's life, you know what? They can be super ministers, man, and a storm comes in and they go right off the deep end and give up. Or they go right into the hands of Jesus and they're stronger and filled with more joy than ever before. Got a phone call this morning, very early in the morning. Hey, this is so-and-so and I'm going off to surgery. And just want to let you know. And we prayed together and went through some word together. Oh yeah, I got that. Oh yeah, oh right, oh man. What's that other? Oh, yeah, what a verse. Oh, woo, great. Ah, what a great verse. And man, I'm just like, Could you quote some of those back to me? I mean, she's absolutely ready. Power of the Word of God. Be careful how you hear. Makes all the difference in the world. And we so often, hear me out, this may offend each and every one of us. Seriously. We are in this thing mode. Weird thing. We're all guilty. I'm guilty. Well, how was it today? He was kind of off. It wasn't as good as last week. We'll try it one more week. Well, how was it? Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's great. That's weird. You know what? Think about it. According to the scripture, I should be the one who's given out the word. It should be reversed. The responsibility is, how are they? Let me see. How are they over here? Those to my left, how are they? You see, the thing is, the word goes out. If we quote scripture and we teach Bible, you see, I'm not the one, well, how was he today? That's carnal. That's ridiculous. The thing is, be careful how you hear. At the end, it doesn't matter. You understand? It doesn't matter if I sleep through the message I'm giving. If I quote Bible verses, that's enough responsibility for us to stand before God with fear and trembling. Well, what happened today? He quoted four verses. And I don't know what I'm going to do with those four verses. You see? And the culture that we're in, it's like, what pastor can like out-preach the other? And you know what we need to do as a people? We need to be thinking about what flock can hear the best. What flock can listen the closest to the word and to the spirit of the Lord? Man, I need to be careful how I hear.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a series of studies called United in the Gifts. This is an in-depth examination of Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, and of course other biblical passages that speak of the various gifts believers have received and exercise. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now, we're just about to wrap up 2008, and so our teacher has something important to say about that.
This is Pastor Jack, and as we come to this year's end, we want to thank you for listening and being part of the Real Radio family. And in light of that, we want you to pray for us and pray about partnering with us and making these radio broadcasts possible. It's not free to do this, and we certainly don't want to ask for money to do it. We want the Lord to provide. But if you're looking into investing in the kingdom of God and helping us get the word of God out to other places, even around the world, then we look forward to having you partner with us. If you'd like to contact us today, you can do that at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 1-877-RR-RADIO. Once again, thank you for supporting us this year and being part of the Real Radio family. God bless you, and we look forward to next year.
Okay, well, again, you can visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or if you're ready to correspond right now, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.